Well, we begin a new series today called Guardrails. And if you know what a guardrail simply protects you from the disaster that is on the other side of it. That's about as simple as I can say it. And it's going to be a great series. It's going to be over the next 6 weeks. Great opportunity to get into a life group. And even if you don't, you're welcome to pick up one of those books. It'll just give you some questions, some things to think about as you go through the week. And this is going to be one of those series that you're going to be able to take whatever you hear on Sunday and put it into practice on Monday morning. And, or before then, if the case may be. So join in and let's make the most out of this that we can get as God provides for us. Well, as I said, a guardrail simply prevents us from a disaster. Now, we live in East Central Indiana, right? And so most of our roads around here look like that. Flat, straight. We number our roads because we don't need to name them. They actually go one direction, right? You can call this 100 and 1 mile later is 200. I think it's a great system. People from the South just don't get it. But anyway, well, let's be serious. This is not what our roads are like. This is what our roads are like. They're straight, they're flat, and they need guardrails right in the middle, right, to keep you from falling into those guys. This past summer, my family, we got to go to Gatlinburg. Anybody go to Gatlinburg? It's so beautiful there. We absolutely loved it. We did a lot of hiking. The roads are shocking, especially for us folks that we can just, you know, you can drive with your leg. Right? In Indiana, you can do stuff with your hands, keep your leg on the wheel, and you're good to go. Down there, no. Okay? Now, this is mild, because if you tried to take a picture on a lot of their roads down there, you would be dead. You would drive off the road into the cliff, or off the side of the road. So this is about as hazardous a picture as I could find, and this is mild. Some of the roads we traveled on were like, oh my gosh, they expect you to drive on this? You know, but I'll challenge anybody to Mario Kart any day, okay? It's a Wii game if you don't know. But anyhow, but really, in reality, I wanted there to be guardrails because, you know, they've got the white line and then death, okay? And so while I'm driving on these roads, this is actually what I'm thinking is going to happen to me and my family, okay? But fortunately, it didn't. We all survived. And you actually get pretty good at driving those roads after you've done it for a while. It gets to be kind of fun, I think, until you come around the curve and there's a motorhome coming your way. You know, that's when it gets scary. But anyway, guardrails are there to prevent us from a disaster that's lurking on the other side. And you know, even though at times you might bump your car up against the guardrail and do a little damage, it will not compare to the damage that will take place in your life if you go off the cliff. And so think about your life for a moment. You know, some of our biggest regrets in life, some of our biggest mistakes that we've made in our relationships, in our finances, in our marriages, could have been avoided if we had had the right guardrails in place. Now, let me restate that. Some of the regrets we have in life would have been avoided had we just had the proper guardrails in place. Well, as we think about this through this series, we're going to think of a guardrail as simply this, a standard of behavior that you are so committed to that when you violate it, it bothers your conscience. A standard of behavior that you're so committed to that when you violate it, it bothers your conscience. Your conscience is a great thing. It's God's tool through which His Holy Spirit speaks into our lives. And if we go through life never having that time when we think, should I really do this? Wow, how unfortunate is that? And the goal for us in this series is that we're gonna develop personal standards of behavior that'll function as guardrails. things we can put in place in our lives that'll keep us from going off of the cliff, so to speak. Now, the reason I say personal is because what you need in your life as a guardrail right now may not be what the person next to you needs as a guardrail. They may already have that guardrail in place. It's there. They've been there. They've done that. They've got it. But you need it. And maybe it's the other way around. They need a guardrail in place in their life that you just take for granted because you've been thinking and living that way for a long time. And so this is going to be for you to figure out for you as we go through these next few weeks. Well, we're going to take a look at a passage of Scripture this morning in the letter to the Ephesians. And one of the things that is really clear as you read through the Bible is that the writers of the Scripture so frequently refer to God as our Heavenly Father. Father who loves us and who cares about us, who wants only what's best for us. And so as we think about this, especially those of us who are parents, where would you rather have conflict with your kids? Would you rather have conflict on this side of the guardrail where you're trying to help them to establish those boundaries in life? You know, a little rough and tumble, arguing it out. Or would you rather have the conflict on the other side of the guardrail after the disaster has happened? I think we know the answer to that. Well, it's the same with God. He'd much rather deal with us now before we cross that line, even though we may not like it, even though we may debate with him and argue and fuss, man, I really want to do that. Do I have to put that guardrail there? He'd much rather deal with us now than when we're down there in the pit and he has to rescue us out of it. It's much better this way. So we're going to take a look at this passage in Ephesians. It's chapter 5, verses 15, starting with verse 15. We're going to stay there. And so if you want to open your Bible and follow along, we're not going to be jumping around today. But Paul wrote this letter to the church, the Christians in Ephesus. Okay, it's written to the church. People that were believers in Ephesus. Ephesus was an ancient city. It doesn't exist anymore. It was right along the border of what is now Turkey. And it was a very wealthy city, a very prominent and influential city. And as is often the case with wealthy, prominent, influential cities, it was incredibly immoral. You could even say it was amoral. A-M-O-R-A-L. Yeah. Meaning, what's morality? We don't know what you're talking about. What's immoral? I mean, it was that bad. Things in Ephesus were to the point of where having an affair, an extramarital affair, was not only not discouraged, it was encouraged. Because having a sexual relationship with another person was considered a religious experience. That's how bad it was. And so the more you did it, the better, the closer to God you were. Really messed up, isn't it? Disgusting. And so imagine, here is Paul writing this letter to these Christians. There were not many Christians in Ephesus at this time. He's writing this letter to the church saying, here is how you stay on the road. Here's how you avoid going off the cliff in a culture where anything goes. Here is how you live a life that honors God when no one else around you is doing it. And so we're going to read these words here this morning. Beginning with verse 15, he says, be very careful then how you live. Be very careful. If we were to look at the original Greek in that, it literally means to look with precision. In other words, have laser-focused eyes. You're going to pay such close attention to what you're doing and how you're living your life. Be very careful then, how you live. The word live, the Greek literally is translated walk. You know, think about if you're walking on a path, maybe in the dark, and someone's trying to tell you, watch your step. That's what it's getting at here. Have such focus in how you live your life that you're careful about where you're going with it. Be careful then how you live, not as unwise, not carelessly, okay? but as wise. Wisdom is more than knowledge. It's one thing to have the knowledge about how we should live our life. It's quite another thing to do it. Wisdom is when you do what you know to be true. If you want to think of it this way, it's skill in living. That's what wisdom is. It's being skillful at living. And so he's saying, don't just live carelessly. Don't just go with the flow. Don't just do what everyone else is doing because they're all doing it. But think about your life. Think about what you're doing with it. And pay attention. And live carefully. And then he says, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Making the most of every opportunity. I believe if you've ever read the King James, that it rephrases this as redeeming the time. That's literally how that's translated. To redeem something is to buy it back and put it to good use. It's to take back something for yourself and to purchase something and use it for a good purpose. That's what it means to redeem. Redeeming the time, making the most of every opportunity. What he's getting at here is that time is precious. So don't waste it. Don't look around seeing how everybody else is living their life and therefore do the same thing. That would be wasting it. Instead, get those laser sharp eyes on and pay attention to how you're living your life. Why? Because the days are evil. Because on the other side of the guardrail is disaster. Because on the other side of the guardrail, that's where the regrets are. That's where the pain is. That's where the problems come from that you have to try to fix that could have been avoided. He's saying, stay away from that. It's dangerous. Don't go there. Do not be foolish. Do not be foolish. Do not play games. Do not pretend. Do not deceive yourself. It's very easy to think, well, what's such the big deal? I can ride right along that line. I can ride as close to that line as I possibly can, and I'll be just fine. But all it takes is one little tick in your arms or one little pothole in the road, and poof, down the cliff you go. He's saying, don't be foolish. But understand what the Lord's will is. Understand, get this. Pay attention, he's saying. God has a plan. God has a will for you. He's got a point to your existence. And it's more than just living however you want to live. It's living a certain way that honors him and reflects him in his world. And why? Because we all know what's on the other side of the guardrail, don't we? We don't have to figure that out. We know what's down there. We know what the end result is of a car that drives off of a cliff. And sometimes the temptation, I was young once, I'm not anymore. Wow. But anyway, I remember what it was like, and there's a huge temptation when you're younger that you can figure out life on your own and you can learn from your own mistakes and that you don't have to learn from others. Well, let me tell you, that is one of the dumbest things I think you can think. Yes, other people have gone before you. They've made those mistakes. You don't have to repeat it. You don't have to have regrets that your friends have had. You don't have to have regrets that your parents have had. You can live life within the lines God has placed for you and be an example for others to follow. You know, as I mentioned before, the thing is we whenever somebody puts a boundary in front of us or says, you know what, you can't go past this line, we so often think, yeah, well, I'm just going to get right up against it then, don't we? Gosh, there's something within us that just pushes us to that point. No, we're not going to cross that line, but we're going to get pretty darn close to it. And the Apostle Paul is saying, stop it. Don't be foolish. Don't mess around. You're playing games with God, and you're playing games with your life, and it's dangerous for you. Now, in the next verse, the Apostle Paul is going to give us a great example of how to put this into practice. And I would encourage you to go back all the way back into verse 17 of chapter 4 and read all the way through chapter 6, because it's just loaded with guardrails. There's so much wisdom right there in those few verses, to the things we can put into our lives that keep us from driving off of a cliff. And the next thing he goes into is a very practical guardrail. He just says, do not get drunk on wine. Wine's about all they had, so I think we can sort of back up a little bit and say, just say, don't get drunk, okay? You know, and think of it this way. Have you ever said of anyone, wow, they make the best decisions when they are totally wasted? Have you ever said that of anyone? Have you ever thought, man, I am so wise when I am drunk off my butt? I just figure out all of life and I solve all of my problems when I'm in that state. No, it doesn't happen that way, right? This is one of the most practical things ever. And he says that the reason is because it leads to debauchery. Now, you all use that word every day. You talked about debauchery when you came to church this morning, right? That's a common word. What does it mean anyway, debauchery? Debauchery is basically an extreme indulgence that leads to loss of control. You see, drinking isn't the sin Paul's talking about here. Even drunkenness isn't the sin Paul's talking about here. What he's talking about is what happens after the drunkenness. It's the loss of control that happens in your life, and all of a sudden, you aren't making the best decisions in life. All of a sudden, you don't have control over what you are doing and what you are saying. And to God, that is an incredibly dangerous thing for us, especially when we are representing Him in life. And you see, there's a bigger principle here, and the bigger principle is this, that anything in our lives that leads to a loss of self-control, our Father is against. Anything. Whether it's financially, whether it's in how we talk to people, how we treat those closest to us, our family members, our friends, strangers that we don't even know. Anything that causes a loss of control in our lives, our Father is against. Greed, lust, pride, those in themselves all lead so dangerously close to that white line, and it's so easy then to just drive right off the cliff and let them take us where they will, into the world of regret, where the things are that we can't go back and fix. But the Apostle Paul, he doesn't leave it there. You see, God doesn't want us to be empty. We're not to be filled with wine, but he says instead, be filled with the Spirit. You see, we're all going to be full of something, right? Some of us are more full of it than others, yes? But God's saying he wants to be what you're full of. He wants you to be full of his Spirit, because there's nothing better than having all of him in all of us, in every little nook and cranny of our lives. You see, God wants to be the primary influencer in your life. He wants to be the one that helps you make the good decisions. He wants to be the one that helps you to choose what is right and good and holy in this life. He wants to be the one that guides you and directs you and warns you about when you're about ready to go off the cliff. He's the one that wants to put up the sign and say, hey, you're getting a little too close to the guardrail here. If you're not careful, you're going to go off the edge. That's what God wants to do. So the Apostle Paul's saying, be filled with God. be filled with His Spirit, because when God is leading you, sure, you might still make poor decisions, but they won't be decisions that are going to lead you off the cliff into a world of regret where you hurt yourself, you hurt those around you, and you can't fix it. You know, no one wakes up one morning deciding that they're going to mess up their lives. No one wakes up, no one on their wedding day stands before their spouse and thinks, while they're getting married, you know, I'm going to cheat on you one day. I'm going to have an affair. No one wakes up one morning as they're paying their bills and decides, you know, I'm going to spend so much more money than I take in. I'm just going to rack up the debt so that I can't possibly pay it off. Nobody wakes up thinking that. No one thinks, I'm going to destroy my friendships because I'm going to say things and do things to them that's just going to mess them up. Nobody thinks that way. We don't do it because we want to. But here's the thing. We get to those places. We get to those places where we're in such financial despair that we can't fix it. We get to those places where our marriages are a wreck. We get to those places where we're alienating our friends and cutting them off because we don't have guardrails in place to keep us from doing it. That's why we get there to begin with. You know, as we put these guardrails up in our lives, we're going to get pressure. You're going to get pressure from people that are close to you that don't view the world the way you do. You're going to get pressure from friends, from family, from others. You know, think about this culture in Ephesus. These Christians, they stood out. They were the minority, and they lived very differently from the folks around them. And they were made fun of. They were persecuted. They were kicked out of their social networks because they refused to participate in what everybody else was participating in. So you're going to get pressure. You're going to have people that are going to say, you're not going to do what? You're not going to do that. Why? Because of God? What are you talking about? You know, and our response to that needs simply to be this. This is my guardrail. This is what I'm going to put into my life, that my personal standard of behavior that I will not violate. Because if I violate that, I end up in disaster. They won't understand, but you will sure represent your God in a mighty way. And I don't know whose approval I would rather have than His. So maybe this morning, before we really even get into this series, we're going to get much more specific with some of this as we go in the next 5 weeks. But maybe even today, something has come to your mind where you need a guardrail. Whether it's in your marriage, your finances, relationships with other people, you need a guardrail, and you need it now because you're right on that line. You're headed off the cliff, and God is trying to say, you can stop this train. You can put something in your life right now that will keep you from going there. And then we don't have to have that conflict down at the bottom of the cliff. And you know, that's the work of the Spirit. If God's putting something into your mind, that's not just you, all right? That's God, who's your heavenly Father, trying to protect you because He knows what's down there. He knows what's going to happen if you get there. Can He rescue you? Sure He can, but it'll be messy, and you'll hate it much more than the pain of just having to say no to something that you shouldn't be involved in the first place. So put the guardrail up. Do your business with God now. It'll be much, much better for you and for everyone around you. You know, no one ever regrets establishing a guardrail. I've never known anyone that said, you know, I'm so sorry that I put that in my life. But you know, there are plenty of people who look back over their lives and wish that they had done that. Don't be one of them. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you so much for your Holy Spirit. Your Holy Spirit is our guide and our comfort. You are our power for living. And I thank you that you provide him and he is free. In fact, he comes with the package. And so, God, as we go through these next few weeks, as we think intently about things that you have given to us as gifts that we can put into our lives to live life in a way that honors you, in a way that honors others, in a way that helps us reflect you into your world, because that's really what all this is about. I pray that you will help us put those guardrails into place. Lord, if you're speaking something specific to us today, help us just to do it. Just make the decision. We're not going to do this. We're not going to cross this line because it leads to something horrible. It leads to sin. It leads ultimately to eternal death, and we're just not going to go there. Help us be bold enough and do it. And God, ultimately, we want to reflect you. That's the whole point. You don't place things in our lives because you want to restrict our fun, or that you want to be mean, take away things that we really enjoy doing. That's not the point. It's because you know what's best. You know what happens when we cross the line. And you want so desperately to spare us from that. You don't want to see us hurt. You don't want to see us hurt others. So help us to do what we need to do. Help us to live as not as unwise, but as wise. Paying very close attention to how we live and being filled with your Spirit, which you freely provide. This I pray in your name, Jesus. Amen.